Let us all say amen. Amen. And the Bible says Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4:24. He said to her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're here this morning to remind us of the great God that we serve. And we're here to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you're with us this morning. You are experiencing New Testament worship. When we worship God, there are five acts of worship. When we assemble to worship our God, we have, the Bible teaches us that we've already participated. We've had prayer. We participated in the Lord's Supper. We've also gave back, contributed to back what God had blessed us with. And now we're going to hear the word, and we have some singing already. We sing according to the word of God, and we teach through our singing. And so we participated in those acts of worship, and now we have the teaching of the apostles' doctrine, and that is worship. Amen? And then I think I want to just share one Brother Wayne brought to our attention this morning. He said that he saw Sister Alice Sales coming in, and he said that ought to take away from any of us any excuse about not coming to worship. And I think I had to ask my wife, and I think she reminded me that my mother is 89 years old right now. Amen. And he said that should take the excuse away from any of us. And one of the other brothers said, well, Sister Josie is 90 years old, praise God, and still assembling to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I think that ought to be an encouragement to us. And he said, they ought to leave our excuses at the door. I know they had a song, your young people know about it. They said, take your bad day with you and leave it at the door. Yeah, and we are going to leave those bad things out at the door where we can come in and worship our God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. I want to just ask again this morning that Brother Brooks is in Syracuse, New York, and he's doing a meeting there. And let's keep our pulpit minister in our prayers, along with his wife, who's hospitalized, and pray for the family and all those that are affected by our sister's illness, and also Brother Brooks being away from us. But we know that at this time, we'll move all those things aside that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. And so you'll meet me at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And again, if you are not a Christian, you are not a member of the Church of Christ, you're missing your blessing. And I'll share with you before I close this morning what God has shared with all of us, that one may become a Christian and understand that I'm not a child of God until I am obedient to God, until I'm born again according to the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want to use for a subject title, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And sometimes when we assemble, there is a message, as it will be this morning, that Paul wrote this letter, his second letter to the Corinthians, and it was a congregational message. However, involved in the message is to each of us individually as it becomes what the Word of God says to us as an individual, but also collectively. And so I want to speak from the subject, but first gave their own souls to the Lord. Yeah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Brother Wayne, verse number 1, the Bible says what?
Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia.
Now, Paul, in his continual letter to them, and we picking up at verse 1 of chapter 8, Paul was telling them, moreover, brethren, he said, I want you to know the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Now, I want to say to Highland Heights, do we truly see God's grace that has been given to us? If you are in a position that you can help somebody, if you're in a position where you can give, if you're in a position where you can use yourself to help, you've been blessed. And sometimes, if we're not careful, as I said earlier, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll bring our bad day with us instead of
being thankful for God. And Paul was telling them that about the church of Galatia, Macedonia, excuse me, and what they had done and how God's grace had been poured upon them. Yeah, we have you. If you have your health this morning, you've been blessed by God. Yeah, if you have, and we'll talk about in the message, if you have to help those that are in need, you don't realize you receive God's grace. But he say, how that, verse 2.
How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality.
Now, Paul was saying that how in a great trial, in a trial, he said, here was affliction. We find that it is sometimes during testing that the true character of individuals come out. Sometimes when we go through stuff is when we really find out what we're made of. And sometimes when we're not going through anything, amen, we sometimes don't have the thankfulness. But Paul said here that these churches of Galatia, notice what he said. He said that not only he said they had joy, but he said in their deep poverty, in other words, they were extremely poor, but it did not hinder their giving. Amen, amen. Somebody.
Amen.
It is those that go through stuff that would give sometimes more generally to help other people. Sometimes when we go through things, we know what somebody, the old expression is, I walked in those moccasins. I know what they've gone through. And sometimes it's those of us that have gone through the things that others have gone through that you can comfort that person more. And in this case here, Paul wanted to let them know that these individuals that that were going through stuff, and he said they weren't just poor, they were deeply poor, but their deeply poorness did not hurt them being liberal. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, sometimes we can look at ourselves and what we're going through, and we'll find that that can shut off our compassion to give to others in our great need because we're going through stuff. And Paul said,
For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves.
Yeah, Paul said, understand this here. Paul said, when want meets desire, you can accomplish a great deal. When you have the want and you have the desire, then Paul said here, for to their power, talking about their ability, he said, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And so now we're moving into what Paul said, they were willing within themselves to give. Paul said, praying us
with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints.
Now Paul said he was praying for encouragement. Their entreaty was encouragement that he said we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of saints. And I want to just say to the congregation, sometime it's been, a year or two ago, we experienced a similar situation during Hurricane Harvey when many of our sister congregations, they knew about us here in Highland Heights and they gave to this congregation. And many saints here, those that have been displaced, those that had, and we found out during the hurricane that insurance pays when water come up, not when water come down. Amen, somebody. And we was looking and trying to find how can we help people, and we had to go back and study and find out insurances are designed for when flood insurance is when water comes up, not when water come down. Amen, somebody. But we were able, by other congregations, given this congregation, I think I can say for the record, every member here that was displaced from their home received support from this congregation. I can say that for a fact. That was known to us. And then those members that had needs outside of being displaced because of their home had taken in water, we were able by other congregations given to us to help Everyone that we had that was listed and we looked into their situation, we tried to help them in some way to help them. Amen. And I still remember the phone call I got. I'm not going to name no name. And the person just said, Brother Stroud, she was talking to the trustee, we just want to thank you, you all, for reaching out and to help. Now, we didn't think that we would receive the help that we got, but that's how God works. Amen? And so Paul was saying in the text that these churches of Macedonia, even though they were in deep poverty, they were still able to give because they wanted their gift to go down to Judea, because those individuals in Judea was under persecution. And that was a time here in Harvey where we had rain everywhere, flooding everywhere. And so those saints, sister congregation that were out there that knew about, and again, many of them knew Brother Brooke from being on the lectureship and speaking other places. They reached out and they sent monies here. And we took those monies and we started first with those people that were displaced, then those people that had taken in water, those people that had home damage, and we tried to help those individuals that was in need. And so Paul says here, this is a help. And Paul called it fellowshipping. He said we were able to take their gifts and we were able to fellowship with those other saints that were in need. And then our scripture verse where we get our title from, Brother Wayne, verse number 5.
And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God.
And so that's my subject this morning. And this is an individual message. Now, I've spoken congregationally, but now Paul says, and this they did. And Paul said, not, you know, sometimes you just hope for a certain amount. But sometimes God would allow your blessings to go past what you hope for. Yeah, God is that type of God. And Paul said here, it was not as we had hoped. Now watch this. He said, but first gave their own self to the Lord. And then he says, unto us by the will of God. So I want to speak for a few moments on how can a Christian give themselves to the Lord? How can I, what is it when Paul said to give yourself to the Lord? Well, I think if we go back into the letter in Romans, Brother Wayne, meet me at verse, chapter 12, verse 1. Paul identifies in his letter to the Romans three areas by which one can give themselves to the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, let me get there with you. And verse number 1, what does the Bible say?
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Now, Paul said, first of all, notice how Paul preferenced this. Paul said, now I'm begging you, brethren, but he said, I want to beg you based on something. I want to beg you based on how merciful God has been to you. Amen, somebody. Yeah, see, when you look at how merciful God has been to you, then Paul said, when you digest that, when you think about where I have been and where I could have been and where I maybe should have been, and I saw where God has shown me mercy, Paul said, now I want you to respond after that. Yeah. He says, after you digest the mercies of God, now I want you to present your bodies. He said, a living sacrifice. And so we find the word here, sacrifice, means the act of offering or giving up of something. So Paul says to us, I want us to first sacrifice your body. He said, holy and acceptable unto God. Then he says, which is your reasonable service. And now the word reasonable in this text means having the ability to reason. Because in the Old Testament, when they gave sacrifices, they would give lamb, they would give sheep, they would just give the animal. But Paul says in the New Testament, the sacrifice is a living sacrifice, But this sacrifice is able to reason, had the ability to think, and to serve God based on their thinking. Yeah, that's what he says. He says here, which is your, and the word, again, reasonable means to think and to understand. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? We're able to learn and understand what being a Christian means according to the Bible, and then we serve God through his word. Yeah, we don't just come and do anything. You know, we have to, and that's why we always hopefully will have the mindset, give me book, chapter, and yeah. That's how we serve God. But we're able to think, we're able to understand what the word of God says. And Paul said, you have the ability to reason. You can think, and then you offer service to God, and that's what we perform. And we're talking about, even in our ministries, all of us should be in a ministry where we're working, we're serving in that ministry. What? Through the word of God. Let me give you an example. Go to Acts 11:29. We'll find in the Word of God one ministry that we find that's in the Word of God, and we use the term for our ministry here in Acts 11, Brother Wayne. And you can begin at verse number 28 to get to 29.
And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great drought. Throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar.
Now he said that what he said when Agabus stood up, he let them know that there was going to come a famine, and it was going to be through all the world. He said it's going to come when Claudius Caesar is the one that serving as Caesar during that time. But watch verse 29. Then
the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea.
So we have here at Highland Heights, we have what we call a relief ministry. That ministry is designed to bring relief. And notice he said, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So the first thing we sacrifice our offer to the Lord is ourselves with whatever talent we possess. Yeah. Whatever talent you possess. And we have, I think it's 8 or 9 active ministries that one can be a part of. One of them we find in here, we have a relief ministry. This ministry are for those individuals that have a passion to bring relief to Christians, as we find, that's a biblical example. The Bible says, every man according to his ability, whatever talent you have for the Lord, first offer yourself. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and then if I'm up in age and I'm older and I may not be as active as I used to be, you just do according to your what?
Ability.
Yeah, but we all have some ability. Yeah, and so what the first thing you have to do is offer yourself. And so the question now is, what am I offering to the Lord as it relates to my ability? What talent? What passion? Sometimes you can have more passion than talent. And sometimes your passion drives your talent. Sometimes we'll be talented and our passion come with it. But what we find in the text, when we offer our bodies, the first thing we want to do is give yourself to the Lord. And he said, be not conformed. Verse 2. Romans 12, 2. I'm sorry. Go back to Romans 12, 2, Brother Wayne.
And be not conformed to this world.
Yeah.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yeah, now understand this here. When I'm going to present my bodies, Paul didn't just say that I understand, but notice what he said. He tells us in verse number 2 how that is done. He said, now, don't be conformed to the world. Or don't do what the world does. Or don't fashion ourselves. We're not going to shape ourselves like the world. He said, but be ye transformed. The word transform simply means to change. He said, how did that happen, Paul? He said, by the renewing of your mind. See, sometimes we have to, and I can talk to all of us and talk to myself too. Sometimes we need to make an adjustment. Yeah, a mental adjustment. Sometimes that adjustment can be morally. Sometimes the adjustment can be spiritual. But what Paul was saying, you got to renew your mind. You got to make an adjustment. If I'm not giving for the Lord, I'm not presenting myself as a living sacrifice to the Lord, then I just need to make a change. You can make a change right there in your seat right now. You say, you know what? You know what? I really haven't been giving myself like I could. I really haven't. I haven't presented myself like I should. I haven't done that. But you know what? From the Word of God, remember that's what we're talking about, how the Word of God teaches me, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to clean myself up morally. And now I'm going to have a spiritual vision in my thinking. And my thinking now is going to line up with God. And he said, when you do that, you can prove what is good. The word acceptable in the text means pleasing and complete will of God. Now you can live for the Lord when you do that. So again, I got to change my mind. Sometimes, it's just like I said again, it's just, you know, sometimes you can just be going through stuff and you just say, you know what? I'm going to change. I'm just going to change. I'm just going to stop doing that. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to start trying to line. That's why I say morally, I'm going to line myself up with the will of God. Those things that I'm learning in Bible class and things that I'm studying and reading, I'm going to the best of my ability. I'm going to learn to apply those things to my life. And that's what Paul was saying. You can't just present your body and not renew your mind. Yeah, it has to be a change in your thinking. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So Paul said, when you do that, now you can be the word acceptable again in text me. Now, not only is it good, but now I'm pleasing to God. Why? Because I'm doing the will of God. And then secondly, we're going to stay in Romans. Romans 13, 11. The first thing we do is I'm going to present my body. I'm going to take my whatever ability I have, whatever talent I have, I'm going to give that to the Lord. And then in Romans 13 and verse number 11, he talks about a second point, Brother Wayne.
And that, knowing the time,
mm-hmm.
that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Now, the word awake here, he said now, and knowing the time, and I think we're going to study in our lessons about how time belongs to God. And all of us have a fixed time. We talked about our sisters that are 89 and 90. God has given all of us a fixed time. But Paul said in this text, he said, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. And now the word awake in the text means sometime as a Christian, we can become spiritually lazy.
Okay.
What do you mean? I'm not doing nothing. I come to worship service, I mean, come to Bible class, and that's about it. So Paul says, secondly, let us sacrifice or offer to the Lord the time that has been given to us by God. My question, how much time do you give to the Lord aside from worship service and Bible class? How much time? How much time am I spending either studying the Word of God, or how much time am I spending serving in one of the ministries? Now, because sometimes with some of us coming to worship, serving Bible class, it's more compulsive. You just do it because it's what you've
been doing.
It's what you do. I know on Sunday morning, I just get up, come up in here. I know on Wednesday night, I'm going to roll up in here again. But outside of those two times, that's what Paul was saying. And again, the word awake here means spiritual laziness. Well, sometimes I just, you know, I just go through it. And sometimes, if I'm not careful, that things are not going well with me, and then it don't go well for the congregation. Because when things going well with me, you know, sometimes I've heard this expression, they say, any bird can sing in the springtime. It's when you find a bird singing in the wintertime. Yeah. When you are serving the Lord and it's not your best day. You know, when you, and that's what Paul was saying here, you got, notice he said, awake out of sleep. They wasn't physically asleep, they were spiritually asleep. You just walk around here, you daydreaming. Yeah. Paul says to us in Romans 13:11, he said, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Whether we realize it or not, we're closer to the grave than when we first believed. Our salvation, or whether we're going to be saved or lost, is nearer than when we first believed. So Paul was admonishing them. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, notice what he said, therefore cast off the works of darkness. Read.
And let us put on the armor of light.
Yeah. He said, just take it off. You know, if I've not been serving, he says to us, let us take it off and let us put on the armor of light. In other words, let others see me doing something as opposed to not doing something. And again, I say to all of us, we all can do something. Amen. We all have ability. We all have talent. Whatever I have, I want to offer it to the Lord. And Paul was telling us that we got to give, some of it is about the time that we give to the Lord. And Paul said we do that when we get out of ourselves. And I may get out of the word slothful is also in the Bible, S-L-O-T-H-F-U-L. It means the same thing. It means when I have a lazy spirit that I don't want to do nothing. Paul said, let's get out of that. Amen. And then in back in Romans 12, Brother Wayne, third thing he talked about, started verse number 6, Romans 12 and 6.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith.
Read.
Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exalteth on exaltation.
Okay.
He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness.
So Paul here enumerates several gifts that God had given to them. Notice he said, having then gifts, and they differ according to the grace that is given to us. God gave us different gifts. He said, a person back then, those that could do able to prophesy, he said, let them do it according to the portion of faith. He said, now those in the ministry, let them wait on it. Those that teach it, let him teach. Those that exhort, let him exhort. Then he says the third thing we can give, and we talked about our 10 plus sowing and reaping. He said, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. See, God says that those, the third thing we can do, we can give to the Lord. So not only do I give my talent, I give my time, also I can give the means that I have, I can give it to those. And Paul said, let us do it with simplicity or singleness of mind. We can give to the Lord that which we receive. And we understand, go to Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Yeah. Understanding where giving falls and how we are blessed when we're able to give. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35, what does Luke write in there?
I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you are to support the weak.
Yeah.
And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Now notice what he said. I have shown you all things, how that we labor, the reason we work is to support, part of a reason, he said, ought to be to support the weak. He said, now, I want you to remember the words that Jesus said, how it is more blessed to give than to receive. When you are in a position to give, you are the more blessed. Yeah, that's the point. when you're able to give to somebody, when you're able to give your talent, you're more blessed. When you're able to give time, you're more blessed. When you're able to give of your means, you're more blessed than the person that's on the receiving end. Jesus said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. When God puts us in a position where we can give, we're in a better position when we give to God. Amen? Amen. And then as I move toward close, the church has to offer spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2:5, Brother Wayne. From a congregation, that was individually, but congregationally, Peter said in 1 Peter 2:5, Peter said, ye also.
Ye also, as a lively stone,
yes,
are built up a spiritual house.
Yeah.
And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
So we find that in the Lord's church here, we can offer up, we are a spiritual house, and we have the ability to offer up spiritual sacrifices. One of them, Brother Wayne, Hebrews 13:15. Yeah. Talking about spiritual sacrifices.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
So again, the word sacrifice simply means the act of offering or giving up something. And so when we assemble here, thank Brother Huey for the song this morning that he led us in. When we assemble, the Hebrew writer said, by him, therefore, let us offer. Notice this here. This is a sacrifice now of praise to God continually. We do it with the fruit of our lips. We don't need instruments to worship God. Why? Because that's not reasonable service. Amen. We don't worship God with instruments. We do it with the fruit of our lips. We sing praises to God. That's the sacrifice that God has given to us, that we praise God continually for what God has done for us. Then as I close, Brother Wayne, how can the Christian find their motivation for sacrificing? Give from Ephesians chapter 5. How can we find motivation for offering a sacrifice? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul told Ephesians what?
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
Now he said, first of all, he said, I want you to be followers of God. And I want you to be fathers of God like you are children. You know, and it's good when children growing up will follow after their parents. Amen, somebody. You know, nowadays our children sometimes can grow up and we don't know what they're going to turn out to be. But I want to say to all of us that are parents, let the parents be examples for their children so they can follow after us. Amen. They learn that coming to worship service is consistent with the will of God. And we don't stay home from worship service. We worship God. We don't stay home from Bible class unless I'm assigned to work. Amen. I'm going to be here worshiping God and studying the Word of God. Amen. Now, if there are some hindrances, they know that when I'm available, we're going to follow God. We're going to worship God. He said, as dear children of God, be ye fathers of God. And then he tells us in verse number 2.
And walk in love
uh-huh.
as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
That's it. If you need motivation to give yourself to the Lord, to give your time to the Lord, to give your means to the Lord, Paul reminded these Christians. He said, first of all, I want you to walk in love. He said, now understand it, as Christ also has loved us. How did he love us? He gave himself for us. Christ was an offering and a sacrifice to God, and the word sweet-smelling savor means God got a fragrance from Christ's death on the cross, and it was sweet smelling to him. Why? Because Christ gave up his life for all of us. That's the love that God had for all of us. That's the love that God had for us. And so I want us to know that God loved us enough. And if you're here this morning, go back to 2 Corinthians. We find the gospel in there. You need to know that God loved you enough that he gave his son. Paul reminded the Ephesian Christians that he gave his son. And his son not only was an offering, but he was a sacrifice for us. And the Bible says it was a sweet-smelling savor to God's. We know God is a spirit. He's not a human. But in his, if it were nostrils, it was a sweet-smelling savor to his nostrils because God saw his son give his life for all of us. Why? Because he loved us. But back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Brother Wayne, and the verse is number 5. Paul, again, in his letter to the Corinthians, he reminds them in the beginning of the letter, before he got to 2 Corinthians, before we got to 2 Corinthians 8, he says something in 2 Corinthians 1, and we'll start at verse number 4.
Who comforted us in all our tribulation?
Yeah.
That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble.
Yeah.
By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
So he said, now notice this here. Paul reminded them to remember that when you go through stuff, God comforts you. The reason that God comforts you is that you may be able to comfort someone else when they are in any trouble. He said, and you do it, you comfort them by the comfort that God gave you. And the word comfort oftentimes in the text simply means to lift up one spirit. What we do when we go to comfort people, we try to lift up their spirit because their spirits are down because of stuff they're going through. And then he says in verse number 5, Brother Wayne,
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
So now, that's the gospel right there. He says, for as the suffering of Christ, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to understand there are 5 acts to becoming a Christian. First of all, you need to understand where Paul said the suffering of Christ. See, back in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Brother Wayne read it in our taking communion. They remembered how Christ died for their sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the suffering of Christ. That is also called in other passages the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to first hear that Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day, never to die again. Well, Brother Stiles, what do I must do? Then we have to tell you that God loved you enough that Christ died for you, and your response to that is that you imitate Christ. You be followers of God by doing what his son did. His son died for sin. You have to die to sin. His son was buried in a tomb. You are buried in a liquid tomb. It's referred to as baptism in the Bible. You are baptized. Christ rose, never to die again. The Bible teaches us in Romans 6 and 3 and 4, you rise to a new life. All your sins, all your past wrongs are washed away in baptism. You rise up a new creature. Now you are a child of God. Now you can worship God in spirit and in truth. There's one today. Someone would like to respond to the invitation again as we close, but first gave their own self to the Lord. Give yourself, your time, and your means to the Lord and be pleasing to God. If there's anyone that would like to respond to the gospel message, we bid you to come and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn.